the Defense Contract Audit Agency, which is an agency that audits cost data in contractor proposals and also does, you know, audits of contracts after they've been finished. They've basically been told to hang back when it comes to contracts underneath a certain threshold. When it's a fixed price contract underneath $10 million, DCA has been told, don't bother, and contracting officers have been told, do not request DCAA services when it comes to contracts under $10 million. And if it's a cost-type contract, the threshold is now $100 million. And this is a big change from the old thresholds, where DCAA was often brought in if it was a fixed-price contract of $700,000 or above, and if it was a cost contract of $10 million or above.
And why is this important? Why does this matter?
This matters because DCAA takes a look at what the contractors are proposing to build a government. And what DCAA auditors often find is that contractors are, you know, proposing costs that, you know, aren't backed up by evidence, that are unreasonable, that aren't allowable under federal acquisition rules. And so they often kick the contractor's proposal back to them and say, hey, you know, we're questioning your costs on this basis and on that basis. And the contractors will often come back and say, hey, yeah, you're right. And they'll lower their proposal, and so taxpayers get a better deal. And a lot of times these contracts are smaller contracts in the single digit millions of dollars or the tens of millions of dollars, but it adds up when you look at the complete picture of contract proposals where DCAA auditors have saved money on.
So what the big concern is that all of a sudden there could be waste, fraud, and abuse that comes because DCAA just isn't looking at these things?
Absolutely. We may not even know when we're being overbilled now until it's too late. And as most people understand, it's much harder to rectify a problem after the money's gone out the door, after there's already been waste or fraud or abuse. So what's happening now is DCAA isn't there at the front end of the process to prevent overbilling from happening in the first place. And so who knows? Billions of dollars may be at risk. And it's ironic that this is happening as, you know, Defense Secretary Robert Gates is saying, we need to save money as much as possible at the Pentagon, and most people are concerned about the deficit.
So there's a little bit of a theory here where sometimes people say, hey, focus on where the big money is, and my guess is DCAA has decided to do this in order to, we're not spending time on the small things, let's spend more time on the really big project.
This is the purported rationale. DCAA has said, we want to look at the big contracts, the big multi-billion dollar contracts, and that makes sense up to a certain point. What's happening at DCAA is, auditors have been told anything you produce should be held to generally acceptable government auditing standards, which is a very high standard for audits. And it makes sense when you're doing a financial statement audit, when you're doing a post-award audit after the money's gone through to see, you know, what the contractor said they billed you for and what they actually spent their money on. That makes sense to apply those generally accepted government auditing standards for those audits. With these what are called pricing proposal reviews, it's all speculative. The contractor has estimated what they're going to build a government. So the auditors come in, and there's nothing to reconcile the ledger with because the contract hasn't happened yet. And so it doesn't necessarily make sense to apply GAGIS, these generally accepted government auditing standards, to these pricing reviews because you don't need to do that. And so what's happening is the auditors have been taking so long to produce these pricing reviews that the contract's already out the door. The contracting officers just can't wait for the DCA auditors to produce these meticulously documented reviews. So what's going to happen now is auditors were covering the big multi-billion dollar contracts and they were covering the smaller contracts all in the same amount of time. Now they're going to be covering fewer contracts worth less amount of money in the same or longer periods of time. So we're not actually getting better DCAA coverage of contracts at all. We're just simply saying, DCAA, don't even waste your time on these small contracts because you guys are taking too long. And the irony of all this is they're giving this to the DCMA, the Defense Contract Management Agency, where they don't apply generally accepted government auditing standards, and DCMA employees aren't auditors at all. So we have people who have no expertise in this area, who aren't applying the higher standards, and we're getting the people who know what they're doing out the door. Hmm. You know, DCAA's rationale just doesn't really hold water when you look at it. It sounds good on its face, but it's actually not true. They were covering those big contracts anyways.
They're not really called GAGIS, right?
the acronym is GAGIS.
Oh my goodness. Well, all right, I'm marking that down as one of the worst acronyms in government.
Keep that in mind.
All right, so there's the problem. It seems like it makes sense to focus on the really big money if you implemented that, and it sounds like part of this is the difficulty in implementation. Part of the challenge here is, hey, guess what, auditors, you have to be more agile just like the rest of us are all having to look to be, and that's a big change for how they've done business. No more doing business the same old way anymore.
That's partly true, but it's an issue of the auditors were more effective when they did these pricing reviews without generally accepted auditing standards. They could cover more ground. You know, they could get reviews to contracting officers in a timely manner. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter how big the contract was, you know, billions of dollars, tens of millions, single millions. Now, they're going to take forever to produce very few reviews on very few, relatively speaking, contracts. So it's not necessarily a better allocation of resources whatsoever. It's these DCA auditors are going to be spending three times, four times as long on, you know, one-fourth as many pricing reviews.
Doesn't some of that review rest really with the contracting officers themselves? Shouldn't they be the ones ensuring that this happens?
Ultimately, they are the decision makers, and I think you raise a great point. They are kind of where the line holds when it comes to the contracting process. However, DCA auditors are experts at really digging in and scrubbing what the contractors are proposing to the government. For example, if, you know, you're a KBR, a Lockheed Martin of the world, and you submit a contract proposal and you say, well, we're going to charge the government X number of dollars for recliners, you know, for our office, DCAA people, they'll go in and see if that price for a recliner is even a reasonable price to charge the government.
And so the best way to get the best support is maybe put aside the GAGIS rules, which sounds like a good plan anyway, but in essence, almost have two levels of review. One, just almost a quick and dirty, hold on, are we on the right track? And then maybe later on have a full a review using the accounting standards. Would that be a good?
GAGIS makes perfect sense when you're doing what's called a post-award audit.
Yeah.
And that's what most people think of when they think of an audit. That's, okay, the contractor had this contract. They charged us, you know, say $10 million for X, Y, and Z. And then a contract auditor goes in and actually sees what the contractor actually spent. That's what most people think of when they think of audits.
Yeah.
The things we're talking about here are when the auditors go in and, yeah, they do a quick and dirty kind of review. Is the contractor's proposal even reasonable in the first place?
It's that extra set of eyes on this thing.
Exactly. Yeah. At the front end of the process to prevent overbilling from happening in the first place. And those things really do not need generally acceptable government auditing standards because they're not financial statement audits. They're not post-award audits. And we need the DCA folks to be able to do their job in a timely manner and get advice to the contracting officers when it actually matters before a decision is made.